about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, beginning at verse 1. Again, Psalm 27, starting at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Verses 1 through 14, Psalm 27. Lord, thank you for the trust and the confidence we have, the privilege of living, placing in you every day. Thank you for the opportunity to look to you for as our strength, our guide, our help, our strength in time of need. Lord, thank you for the fact that you promised to your children, never will I leave you nor forsake you. So we never walk alone, we never stand alone, we never face any situation alone, but we always, 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 always have the promise of your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the strength, the power, and the foundation we find in your word. Lord, teach us more and more effectively how to put your word to work in our life as a weapon, the weapon that it really is, to help us stand strong, courageous, and boldly as we walk in obedience to you and as we stand and live as ambassadors and vessels for your kingdom that you can use to accomplish whatever you desire to accomplish. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to know you and walk with you each and every day. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for joining us today here on the Hour of Intercession, and I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Let me start off once again by sharing a couple of quick announcements with you. I want to remind you that today we're inviting each and every listener to be a part of today as a day specially set aside to be a day of prayer and fasting. Many years ago, in fact, in the year 1863, on March 30th, 1863, in the midst of the Civil War, our then president, President Abraham Lincoln, called for a national day of prayer and fasting in which he addressed what he called the need for our national reformation as a whole people. President Abraham Lincoln stated these words. He said, "We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown, but we have forgotten God." Lincoln said, adding that it was our duty to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. How can we, in this day and time, in our nation, the United States of America, in 2016, do any less? The American Family Association is joining countless churches, organizations, and individuals in calling for a national day of prayer and fasting. And of course, that's today. It's time that we, as God's people, recognize our need to repent of our own wickedness and cry out to the Lord for his forgiveness and his mercy, that he may bring healing and wholeness to our broken land. Again, the American Family Association has designated Monday, November 7th, today, as a day to seek God's face. However you choose to participate, whether you fast one meal, two meals, all day, We just invite you to join us and many other believers in the body of Christ just across our nation and elsewhere to cry out to our Heavenly Father. And we invite you to go online to AFR.net, sign the pledge there again at AFR.net, and let us know that you will be participating. If you'll do that, we would really, really very much appreciate that. And let me remind you also on tomorrow, Decision 2016, on Tuesday, November 8th, we invite you to join Tim Wildman, Ed Vitagliano, Brian Fisher, as the American Family Association and AFR Radio presents an analysis of the election results and how those results may impact your life and mine. Coverage begins at 6 p.m. Central. As always, the election coverage will be biblically based as the panel discusses the importance of the issues to include the House and Senate races as well as referendums on some ballots. First and foremost, please pray. Continue to pray for our elections. Pray that the precepts of the Lord God would be upheld in the choices that we and God's people make as we go to the ballot box on tomorrow. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, we want to encourage every single listener, wherever you may be listening from, please be sure and go and vote. You know, whoever you choose to vote for, be prayerful and careful and seek to be led by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, but please go out and vote. Please don't avoid voting, even if you don't feel the best in the world about it. But remember, your vote does make an important difference. You know, we just finished reading from Psalm 27. And as we look at our topic for today, I want you to keep in mind, Psalm 27 is a good representative scripture to look at. That's a good encouragement psalm, a strengthening psalm, a psalm encouraging you to trust God, to look to God. I want you to listen to the wisdom found in Psalm 27 as we consider the truths behind it. Now, keep in mind, one of the reasons why it's so important to read God's Word every day is because every day you need to continue to grow closer to God, and reading the Word of God is one of the ways, one of the tools that helps us to draw closer to God. But also, it strengthens and it builds your faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We live in a world full of fear. A world where people are fearful about so many different things. Now, the fact is some people are afraid about what's going to happen on election day tomorrow. There are other people that are afraid about the wars going on in the world. Some people are afraid because of terrorism and what ISIS may be doing in the world. Some people are fearful because of the neighborhoods they live in, fearful maybe for financial reasons. There's all kinds of fear out there in the world, and fear brings torment. It's important to know, too, God calls us to be a people that don't live by fear. In fact, God tells us time and time again in the Word of God, fear not. And one of the greatest tools to help you to stand in faith and not fear is, of course, the Word of God. The more you read and meditate on the Word of God, the more and more it pushes away fear and helps you to trust God. The Bible says again, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is trust and confidence in the Word of God. On the other hand, fear is a form of worry. Fear and worry are just basically the same thing, one form of the same as the other. But it's a lack of trust in God. In fact, according to the Word of God, worry and fear is a sin. Now, some people say, well, you can't help but worry. You can't help but be fearful. Well, actually, that's not true, and it's important to learn how we as believers, we combat fear. So I want you to keep in mind, when you speak the Word of God and stand on the Word of God and read and meditate on the Word of God, the greatest weapon to help you to overcome fear, of course, is the Word of God. Learning how to use God's Word is a very, very important thing to do in order for you to live a life where you can be on top of fear, where you can overcome fear in your life. Now, again, for those that say you can't help but be fearful and you can't help but worry sometimes, well, keep in mind, worry is not really okay. In fact, worry can cause early wrinkles. It can cause nervousness. In fact, it can cause early death, actually, too, because the fact is worry leads to stress, and stress is not good for you. Stress is not good for you. And so, again, keep in mind, the best weapon to help you combat fear is the Word of God. And so, I want to go through Psalm 27 again. I want you to listen to what it says and understand these are promises that we're to both strengthen our faith with and recognize as truth as well. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, wherever you might be, I want you to say this. You can do it quietly wherever you might be, but just say, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. It's important, a very important truth to recognize, too. And so it looks like someone has a question for us. I'm going to have to scroll down to see the question. But keep in mind, if you have questions or comments about anything we're sharing, please feel free to share them. Because remember this, that any question you may have is a legitimate question, whatever it might be. But keep in mind, the question is, how do you not feel fear as a Christian? And doesn't the feeling come no matter what? Well, you know, that's a good question. That's a good question. I understand this. The Bible lets us know, again, it speaks about the fight of faith, okay? The fact is, God calls us to be a people that trust him at all times. In fact, the Word of God says, the just shall live by faith. It's important to know, too, one of the reasons why we have the battles is because the devil will shoot arrows of fear at us. He'll come against us. He'll attack us with fear. And in fact, sometimes you hear people talk about anxiety attacks. Well, those are attacks the devil will use to come against your mind, your emotions, your will, to make you feel overwhelmed. But that's why it's important for us to learn to take the Word of God and not only read it, but learn to speak the Word of God as a powerful tool, because the fact is, all of us need to know how to use God's Word. Remember, now let me remind you, 7 specific uses of God's Word. You can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, pray it, obey it, and meditate on it. Well, one of the ways, for example, some believers know they're supposed to read the Word, but sometimes fail to recognize that not only do we read the Word of God, we're also supposed to speak the Word of God. Understand this. Sometimes when fear attacks your mind, you need to begin to speak the Word of God. Why? Because, you know your mind basically has to shut down to listen to what your mouth is saying. Did you know that? You need to understand that that's a very important dynamic in the battles of your life. When you speak the Word of God, your mind has to stop thinking in whatever frenzy it might be in to listen to what your mouth is saying. So speaking the Word of God, speaking words of faith, even when your mind feels fearful, is an important tool to use. So we'll talk about more about that on the other side. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be right back.
And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Senate Democrats have committed themselves to removing a clause from the National Defense Authorization Act. House members added a provision to the bill that would ensure faith-based organizations that perform work for the U.S. government are not forced to act against their beliefs. Senate Democrats say the provision amounts to government-sponsored discrimination cloaked as religious exercise. The matter will most likely come before a lame duck Congress when the session resumes after the November 8th elections. This is an example of the fight we can expect in the future, the LGBTQ agenda versus religious liberty.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
God has allowed me to have many friends who are in various entertainment industries. One of the things that is a common denominator for all of them is that they can't forget their godly upbringing. They remember their days of being at church every time the door opened. But there are a few of them who struggle with using their gifts to build up the kingdom or continuing a secular flow. One of the things that is undeniable is the call of God on your life. No matter where you go or what you do, you will know when God calls you. It's not going to be something that you can deny or argue, or in many cases, even run from. So I'll say this, don't continue to pretend as though you don't feel the tug or hear the call. Answer the call. Doing so will set your eternal destiny on a different course, and you'll be surprised at the peace that comes from giving God a yes. Is He calling you? With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Are you aware many men struggle in the aftermath of abortion? According to research, 8% of men are seriously damaged emotionally. This means nearly 5 million men are walking wounded, with millions more affected to lesser degrees. We have a website to help these hurting fathers. MenAndAbortion.net can refer a man to free peer-to-peer counselors anywhere in the nation. There are videos and books, healing Bible studies, research, and more. Men need to know they're not alone and there's help for them. MenAndAbortion.net is the place for them to begin their journey back to wholeness. Please pray more hurting fathers of aborted babies will reach out and connect with the help they need. Once again, the address is MenAndAbortion.net.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
And I feel the best.
The music of Nicole C. Mullen, the song On My Knees. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking specifically at the topic of praying and standing for our nation. And part of one of the reasons why we're addressing the issue of fear is because we live in a day and time in which there are a lot of people that are fearful about many issues, including the election tomorrow. Many people may basically have the attitude that they're afraid no matter who gets elected. Well, the fact is, it's important for us to know that, remember this, no matter who gets elected president, Jesus is king. He'll be just as much on his throne as he is today, and he'll be on it tomorrow. He'll be on it the day after election as well, because, again, remember, no matter who's the president, Jesus is and always will be king of the universe and so much more. So we don't have to be afraid. Don't have to be fearful. Our trust and faith needs to be in God. Now, we need to pray for our leaders. Whoever gets elected president, you are to pray for that individual. But your faith and trust are to be primarily, are to be in God. The fact is, God is sovereign no matter what's going on in the world and in our culture as well. So again, I want to encourage each and every one of us, put your weapons to work. Remember, again, the Word of God is the most powerful weapon in the world and in the universe, but it's a weapon that you have to choose to use. And if you don't use it, again, that's your loss, because, again, it's a weapon to be used. Now, again, we've mentioned seven ways to use God's word. Read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, pray it, obey it, and meditate on it. All of those are different uses. They're all related. None of them are quite the same thing. You can read the word of God and meditate on it, but not choose to speak it. Sometimes you can read the word of God, but not choose to pray the word of God. Well, it's wise to put all of those uses to work in your life. That's a good thing to do. Those are tools that help you combat fear. So as it relates to looking at the topic of the election tomorrow, remember this, again, every believer, you should be very prayerful, praying for God's grace and spirit to intervene and to work in the election, but also make it your goal to go and vote. Again, it's really irresponsible on our part as believers to neglect to do one or the other. We should pray and vote as well. And obviously, we should seek to vote according to the Word of God, according to the will of God, according to the leading of the Spirit of God. But it's important to be persons that are responsible, doing what honors God in our actions, in our words, in the things we say, the things we do. So we're to pray and stand. Again, as we look at the topic of praying and standing for our nation, we should both be praying for our leaders. And remember this, there are many other persons that are running as well. There are a number of congressional races that are going on and other issues that are on the ballots too. So going out and voting is important, and be prayerful about all the things that you vote for and are voting about. In the book of Joshua chapter 1, it's another chapter that's a great chapter that's a good tool to help you combat fear. We read earlier Psalm 27. That's a good psalm. Psalm 27 is a good psalm for you to meditate on often when you're feeling fearful. It's a great psalm of encouragement, a psalm that can bolster your faith and your trust in God. Well, Joshua chapter 1 is another such passage. Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, and it tells us these words. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot would tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now again, keep in mind, the goal is that God, our understanding is that we're to understand that God is calling us to be strong and courageous in obeying His Word and His Spirit. And remember that that goes for every believer. The Word of God says in the Old and New Testament, the just shall live by faith. So no matter what, God is calling us to be courageously obedient servants that will do His will. Well, it's important to understand this. We live in a day and time in which there's, again, much fear out there. Oftentimes you have people that sometimes will know what is right, but they're afraid of the backlash and the repercussions if they speak out upon what's right. Well, the fact is, it's important that we understand this. God is calling us to be courageous enough to obey Him no matter what. One area of life, and again, we're going to get to talk further about praying, the importance of praying for our nation. But think of this. The Great Commission is to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Part of what that means is every day of our life, we should be involved in disciple making. We should be believers who are praying that God would use us to help people to be saved, praying that God would use us to help disciple other believers, praying that God would use us to point people to Jesus Christ as a lifestyle. But the reality is, it's not hard to find people that consider themselves good, strong Christians, and they don't remember the last time they shared the gospel or gave away a gospel tract or invited someone to church or encouraged someone to grow stronger in their faith. Why is that? Because the reality is you have believers that don't understand their purpose and their calling. You know, as one person put it, they said, the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Our priority is to be building God's kingdom. We're not just to be living life and trying to fulfill the things that make us happy and doing the things that make us encouraged and hope that we have a good day. Every day, we're to be vitally involved with carrying out the will of God. Just like the question right after the Apostle Paul got saved on the road to Damascus, his second question to God was, what do you want me to do? You know, there's some believers who've lived their whole life and they've never asked God that question. And one of the reasons is they're so caught up in doing what they want to do. They're not concerned about what God wants them to do. But we're here for God. We're not here to fulfill our dreams. We're here to fulfill God's dreams. We're not here to be happy per se. We're here to please our Heavenly Father. We're here for the purposes of God. And so remember then, the Word of God helps us to know the will of God and to live it out as we read it and meditate on it and as we put it to work as well. So remember, the Word of God is many things, but amongst other things, it's a weapon. It's a very, very important weapon for us to be putting to use in our lives. Now, let me remind you of a tool that I want to encourage you to be mindful of. It's a prayer in the prayer book entitled, the name of the prayer book is Praying in Victory, and it's a prayer book that you can download. You can go to prayinginvictory.com, prayinginvictory.com, and download. I would encourage you to go online and download the prayer book. It's a very helpful tool to have. It has 9 prayers that deal with different areas of life, all of which are important kingdom causes. The prayers include, for example, one of the prayers is praying for the government and praying for nations, praying for Jerusalem and Israel. Another one, praying for missionaries, praying for pastors' families as well, praying for the church and praying for relationships and praying for children. All 9 prayers are biblically based prayers based on the Word of God. They're very, very fruitful prayers to pray every single day. And I would encourage you to download that prayer book and put it to use. Well, we're going to take time to go through praying the prayer, praying for the government. And remember this, not just because Election Day is tomorrow. You know, we should pray for the government every single day. Again, so to find that prayer book, again, prayinginvictory.com. Again, prayinginvictory.com is where you find it. Now, if you don't want to download it, you can just pull it up. And you pray, you know, obviously pray it straight from your computer if you like, your computer or your iPhone. But the fact is, again, it's a wonderful and a very effective prayer tool. Now, I would encourage every listener to get the prayer book and pray these all 9 prayers every single day. Now, it may take you 15, 18 minutes or so to do that. But it's a very fruitful thing to do, because remember this, in all of the kingdom of God, one of the most productive things we can do is pray for the work and the will of God. And of course, obviously pray according to the Word of God. But spending time in prayer is very, very important. And let's take time now to pray the prayer, praying for the government. Heavenly Father, I give thanks for our government. I pray for all men and women having authority over us in any way. More and more, pour out your spirit upon them and make your word known to them. Cause them to be men and women of integrity, obedient concerning us, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life more and more in all godliness and honesty. Let wisdom enter their hearts and let knowledge be pleasant to them. Let discretion preserve them and understanding keep them to deliver them from the way of evil and from evil men. Make their hearts and ears attentive to godly counsel, doing what is right in your sight. Let the upright dwell in our government. Cause there to be a shaking in all areas. Let those complete and blameless before you stay and cut off the wicked. Let the unfaithful be rooted out. Bring to light what is hidden in darkness and expose the secret aims of the hearts. Let this nation remember from where they've fallen, repenting and returning to doing their first works, setting their hearts and their souls to seek the Lord, humbling themselves, praying, and turning from their wicked ways. Then hear them, O Lord, and forgive their sins and heal our land. Open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. Soften the hearts that are hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Deliver them from their destructions. Father, you have been long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Raise up a standard in this nation. Cause the rains of your spirit to flood this land and revive your work in the midst of us. Raise up intercessors for this nation to pull down strongholds over this land and let the glory of the Lord be revealed. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, from the prayer book, Praying in Victory, found at prayinginvictory.com. This particular prayer, the first prayer listed, is called Praying for the Government. Again, I would encourage you to get the prayer book, download it, again, at prayinginvictory.com, and pray it every single day. Again, every single day, okay? Again, prayinginvictory.com is the website. I would encourage you to get that, to be sure and get that prayer book. It can help you to become a prayer warrior immediately, because praying those prayers, and remember this too, there's so much about prayer that all of us may not fully comprehend, but prayer is much more important than any of us fully grasp. Somehow or another, God has connected himself to prayer. So when we pray for our leaders and pray for our government, not only does it make a difference, it's huge, because actually history in so many ways and instances have been shaped by the prayers of God's people. In other words, the unseen shapers of history have been prayer warriors down throughout the history of the world. And many people won't fully grasp that until history is over, until Jesus has come back and the Lord will reveal to us how important praying was and continues to be. But in the meantime, our job is to pray. Pray for leaders. Pray for those who are in authority. Pray for persons in positions of leadership, because they need our prayers. And many times, they will win and they will do the right thing as God's people are praying. And too often they've done the wrong thing and made mistakes when God's people weren't praying like we should have. So it's important that we be a people given to prayer. Once again, that prayer book is called Praying in Victory, found at prayinginvictory.com. I would encourage you to get it, put it to good use. And again, pray them every day, especially the praying for the government, because again, the president, the vice president, whoever that person may be, very much whoever he or she may be, the fact is they need our prayers, whether they want them or not. They need our prayers, but the nation needs our prayers. Even when you have leaders that don't love God, don't honor God, the fact is they're still subject to God. And so praying for our leaders is so, so very important. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us to take praying for our leaders and for our government and our nation seriously. Lord, anoint us afresh with the spirit of wisdom and grace to know that we need to be very, very serious about praying for our leaders and those in positions of authority, because again, they are, every one of them is subject to you. Help us to never take lightly this great and very and awesome responsibility to pray for our leaders. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back after this break.
The church has to take the lead in ensuring that men are properly trained for fatherhood. We have an epidemic in which boys are not growing up with their fathers. So as Christian men, we have to stand in the gap and make up the hedge so that our communities are not destroyed. When we see fatherhood as a blessing and not an inconvenience, we will see children as spiritual weapons in our arsenal. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Join us in the battle to strengthen fatherhood. UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
I'm Karen, a wife, a mother, a business owner. Needless to say, I'm very busy.
Sometimes I scarcely get everything done. That's why I love the hour of intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker. He reminds me to stop and take time to pray and read God's word. His encouragement is great. I carry it with me everywhere I go.
The Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker. Weekdays at 1 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
We're losing 417 Vietnam veterans every day, and with them goes their memories and unique personal histories. This includes the 7,286 African-American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country during the Vietnam War. Help us keep their memory alive by collecting their photos and by putting a face to each name inscribed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The Education Center at the Wall on our National Mall will display these photos and be a place where their faces and contributions will never be forgotten. It will complete the work of the Memorial Wall and also honor those who sacrificed their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. Help honor the service of all American veterans and bring their sacrifice to life. Visit vvmf.org to share your photos and your stories. That's vvmf.org.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
Dr. Tony Evans says Christianity isn't just a matter of what you can't do, but the rules still matter. Today, he'll talk about where we get the power to follow them as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
The New Covenant operates from the inside out. Many of us are holding back what God wants to do on the inside. He gave you a new heart. He gave you a new spirit because he wants to give you a new life. And he wants a dynamic relationship with his spirit. And when he does, he says, you will obey me not because you have to. You will obey me because you want to. It will change your motivation. It's real simple. It is when the word of God is linked with the spirit of God. When the intersection of what you heard about God is then yielded to the Spirit of God, you have what I might call a spiritual Xerox moment. You say, God, tell me, prophesy to me what I need to know and understand. But when you then take that information and offer it to the Holy Spirit for the purpose of transformation, the Holy Spirit does this. He takes a picture, and the new covenant says, I will write my words on your heart. So what God does is he takes a picture of the Bible, writes it on the heart, and inverts it so that now the word of God is starting from the inside out and not the outside in.
If you'd like to see our country return to a relationship with God, contact us for details on Dr. Evans' book called America. It explains how we can use the Lord's power to reclaim justice, morality, and strength for America, and to spark a revival like our nation has never seen. Get details by visiting us at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Of Marvin Sapp, the song Teach My Hands to War. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking specifically at the topic of praying and standing for our nation. And remember this, every day as believers, we're to pray for our nation, for those who are in authority. God will use our prayers to help shape history and help shape life for so many. So praying for our leaders is very, very important. Never underestimate what God will do through one faithful person, a faithful person of prayer, a faithful person who's willing to be courageous enough to do what God's word has said. Too often, as human beings and as believers, often we think, well, I don't want to stand out. I don't want to be different, so I'm going to blend in. Now, we may not say that with our mouth, but our actions say it. Often we want to go along with everybody else. But the fact is, often, if you want to be used of God, and if you're willing to be used of God, God will use you when no one else is courageous enough to stand up for what they know to be right. Be a courageous follower of Jesus Christ. That's very, very important. So pray for your nation and stand for your nation, for its good and for the blessing of God to be upon it. I'm going to share from the Living New Living Translation, 1 Kings chapter 18, a powerful story about a great prophet by the name of Elijah and how God was able to use him, one man, to help turn a whole nation around. Again, 1 Kings chapter 18. Later on in the third year of the drought, the Lord said to Elijah, "Go and present yourself to King Ahab. Tell him that I will soon send rain." So Elijah went to appear before Ahab. Meanwhile, the famine had become very severe in Samaria. So Ahab summoned Obadiah, who was in charge of the palace. Obadiah was a devoted follower of the Lord. Once when Jezebel had tried to kill all the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had hidden 100 of them in two caves. He put 50 prophets in each cave and supplied them with food and water. Ahab said to Obadiah, "We must check every spring and valley in the land to see if we can find enough grass to save at least some of my horses and mules." So they divided the land between them. Ahab went one way himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. As Obadiah was walking along, he suddenly saw Elijah coming toward him. Obadiah recognized him at once and bowed low to the ground before him. "Is it really you, my lord, Elijah?" he asked. Yes, it is," Elijah replied. "Now go and tell your master Elijah is here." "Oh, sir," Obadiah protested, "what harm have I done to you that you're sending me to my death at the hands of Ahab? For I swear by the Lord your God that the king has searched every nation and kingdom on earth from end to end to find you. And each time he was told Elijah isn't here, King Ahab forced the king of that nation to swear to the truth of this claim. And now you say, 'Go and tell your master Elijah is here.' But as soon as I leave you, the Spirit of the Lord will carry you away to who knows where. When Ahab comes and cannot find you, he will kill me. Yet I've been a true servant of the Lord all my life. Has no one told you, my lord, about the time when Jezebel was trying to kill the Lord's prophets? I hid 100 of them in two caves and supplied them with food and water. And now you say, 'Go and tell my master Elijah is here.' Sir, if I do that, Ahab will certainly kill me." But Elijah said, "By the Lord Almighty, in whose presence I stand, that I will present myself to Ahab this very day." So Obadiah went to tell Ahab that Elijah had come, and Ahab went out to meet Elijah. When Ahab saw him, he exclaimed, "So is it really you, you troublemaker of Israel?" "I have made no trouble for Israel," Elijah replied. "You and your family are the troublemakers, for you have refused to obey the commands of the Lord and have worshipped the image of Baal instead. Now summon all Israel to join me at Mount Carmel, along with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who are supported by Jezebel." So Ahab summoned all the people of Israel and the prophets to Mount Carmel. Then Elijah stood in front of them and said, "How much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, then follow him." But the people were completely silent. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only prophet of the Lord who is left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Now bring two bulls. The prophets of Baal may choose whichever one they wish and cut it into pieces and lay it on the wood of their altar, but without setting fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood on the altar, but not set fire to it. Then call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by fire is the true God. And all the people agreed. Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "You go first, for there are many of you. Choose one of the bulls and prepare it and call on the name of your God. But do not set fire to the wood." So they prepared one of the bulls and placed it on the altar. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning until noontime, shouting, "O Baal, answer us." But there was no reply of any kind. Then they danced, hobbling around the altar they had made. About noontime, Elijah began mocking them. "You'll have to shout louder," he scoffed, "for surely he is a god. Perhaps he is daydreaming or is relieving himself, or maybe he is away on a trip or is asleep and needs to be awakened." So they shouted louder, and following their normal custom, they cut themselves with knives and swords until the blood gushed out. They raved all afternoon until the time of the evening sacrifice, but there was still no sound, no reply, no response. Then Elijah called to the people, "Come over here." They all crowded around him as he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been torn down. He took 12 stones, one to represent each of the tribes of Israel, and he used the stones to rebuild the altar in the name of the Lord. Then he dug a trench around the altar enough to hold 3 gallons. He piled wood on the altar, cut the bull into pieces, and laid the pieces on the wood. Then he said, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour the water over the offering and the wood." After they had done this, he said, do the same thing again. And when they were finished, he said, "Now do it a third time." So they did as he said, and the water ran around the altar and even filled the trench. At the usual time for offering the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all this at your command. O Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you've brought them back to yourself." Immediately, the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up all the water in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell face down on the ground and cried out, "The Lord, he is God. Yes, the Lord is God." Then Elijah commanded, "Seize all the prophets of Baal. Don't let a single one escape." So the people seized them all, and Elijah took them down to the Kishon Valley and killed them there. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming." So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. Then he said to his servant, "Go and look out toward the sea." The servant went and looked, then returned to Elijah and said, "I didn't see anything." 7 times Elijah told him to go and look. Finally, the 7th time, his servant told him, "I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea." Then Elijah shouted, "Hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you." And soon the sky was black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. Then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his coat into his belt and ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. Verses 1 through 45, 1 Kings chapter 18. Again, a powerful, powerful story about the prophet Elijah in a day and time in the midst of the history of Israel. Elijah basically appeared before King Ahab and challenged the prophets of Baal to call it a spiritual contest on Mount Carmel. There he gave them the opportunity to cause their offer or to call on their quote-unquote God to burn up their sacrificial offering. And of course, they tried all day long and nothing happened. But then when Elijah prayed to the Lord God, our Heavenly Father, God sent fire. Fire fell from heaven, came down, burned up the altar and the sacrifice on the altar as well, and demonstrated to Judah demonstrated to Israel in a wonderful way that the Lord, he is the true God. Well, Elijah was used of God to bring revival and bring the nation back, to turn back their hearts and their minds towards the living God. And you know, never underestimate what God will do through one single person. One person that's willing to stand up and speak truth. One person that's willing to pray for God's work and will to be done in a given situation, to pray for leaders, to pray for government. One person can make a huge difference. It's important for each of us to seek to be used of God to make a difference in the world and in the circles God has placed us. God wants to use each and every one of us that's listening. God has work for you to do because there are people that need to be pointed to Jesus Christ, and you and I are the vessels God will use to do that if we're willing to courageously stand for what is right, stand for what the Word of God says, stand for what is according to the righteous standards of God's Word and His will. As you prepare to vote tomorrow, be sure that you're seeking to vote in a way that lines up with the Word and the will of God. Look at, again, as best you can, what the candidates stand for, and pray and vote towards that end. What is tragic is when you have believers that consider themselves good, strong Christian believers, yet they ignore what the Word of God says as it relates to what a given candidate stands for, and they just do what they feel like, well, in their heart, or what they feel like in their mind they wish to do, or they feel like the people they're around want to do, or I'm going along with the most of the other group, people that are in the group I'm a part of, or what's popular. No, we're called to courageously do what honors God no matter what else anybody else does. Even if hundreds of other of your peers are going in a given direction, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, we're called to stand on the Word of God. We're called to line up with the Word of God. We're called to be God's vessels. And just like God used Elijah to point a whole nation back to Him, God can use you in your circles. Elijah was a great man of faith. He was a great man of prayer. And as that passage, 1 Kings chapter 18, pointed out powerfully, God used Elijah's prayer life to change the landscape of Israel, and He used Elijah's prayer life and Elijah's courage to point the people of Israel to the Lord God as the only God, the living God. Is God using you today? God wants to use each of us every day because there's so many people that aren't saved today, so many people in the circles that you and I run in that aren't saved, aren't believers. Many people may be saved sometimes, but no one is challenged and encouraged them to begin to get into the Word of God on a regular basis, to read the Word of God, to live by the Word of God, to follow the counsel of God's Word. You know, we should never make the mistake of thinking God's Word is a nice book to pull sermons and Sunday school lessons out of. We're to be guided by His precious and powerful Word. Lord, thank You for the chance for us to pray for our nation, to pray for our leaders, to pray for Your hand and Your hand of blessing on our nation, Lord. Father, we confess we've sinned in so many ways. We've dishonored You and haven't loved You. Forgive us, Lord, and pour out Your spirit of healing, mercy, and grace mightily upon our whole nation. We love You. We bless You. We praise You. We thank You. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. As always, we appreciate you listening in. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.